Aussie crypto exchange SwiftX is giving footy fans a chance to win Game 3 State of Origin tickets, flights, and accommodation. Simply trade $100 to enter. Visit SwiftX.com, SwiftX.com for details. Competition excludes residents of ACT, T's and C's apply.
Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees, a sheep or two, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back.
I've searched all week, Chris, for that song. Chris Parry, who's our expert travel talk, travel writer extraordinaire. Good to have you with us, mate. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
That's okay. I don't mind a bit of John.
But we are going to be amongst the gum trees and whatever. We're staying in WA this week.
We are. We're going to be WA bound. So I want to hear from lots of people about what they reckon are the best attractions in WA that are man-made.
Okay. Man-made attractions in WA.
Yeah.
If you've got a favourite one, give us a call, 133-882, or you can SMS us on 0487-999-882. See if they match the list that Chris has provided me here. Boy, oh boy. There's some. Now, I've been to one of these.
You've been everywhere, man.
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's what we should have played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next week,
have
that's locked
the,
in.
Have we got the Leyland brothers there somewhere?
Oh. I used to interview the Leyland brothers on radio. How long ago would that be? Unbelievable. The Kalbarri Skywalk.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
Magnificent, and is a great example of a man-made structure that makes things more accessible for people.
Yeah.
So not everybody can have a look at the gorges. Whatever your abilities and things like that.
Yep.
To put in that skywalk, cantilevered, there are two of them. One's about 20-odd metres long, the other one, I think, 15 to 17 metres. And they've had great input from local Indigenous elders as well that have put some art around there as well. But the idea is you walk out over that skywalk and look out over the gorges. It's accessible and it's thrilling. And what a great way to experience the gorges. Up in Kalbarri.
Absolutely. It's a very nice part of the world. Very picturesque. Lots of colours in all that rock and everything. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I actually have walked down into the gorge as well as the skywalk as well. Being an energetic person that I am.
Well, being a nautical person that I am, I hired a boat and went up the river a dinghy. It was actually my honeymoon with my wife. We hired a boat. And I got the tides a little bit wrong there, and I hit some shallow water. It took us a long time to drag the dinghy over a sandbank.
Married?
Still married. Still like going out in boats. But what a wonderful area, and it's just another way of adding to the way you can experience those gorges.
Yeah, what a romantic you are.
Absolutely.
I'm just wondering now if you've ever followed the pipeline to Kalgoorlie, which, of course, you can get the full story in the Cunderdin Museum. You wouldn't have done that with your wife, would you?
Actually, I have. Oh. We moved out to Kalgoorlie for a few years for a couple of jobs. Right. Now that pipeline, a lot of us have a little bit of understanding of the history there.
Yep.
One of the greatest engineering feats in the 20th century. I think it's acknowledged by whatever the global engineering society or fraternity is called. They acknowledge it as one of those great feats.
Right.
The amazing thing about the pipeline was when C.Y. O'Connor was supported by Sir John Forrest to go and do it, and everyone else in the state, because they were going to use the equivalent of the entire state's budget to build that pipeline.
Right.
And everyone said, this is completely crazy. You can't build a pipeline 600 kilometres long and use all this money. But the trick to it wasn't a pipeline that was pumping water for 600 kilometres. It was only pumping it for about 150, and they'd have a pumping station along the way.
Right.
So the Cunderdin Museum is actually set up in one of the original pumping stations. So the water arrives there and then you pump it on to the next pumping station and it eventually arrives in Kalgoorlie. So an amazing thing that you can see still by the side of the road and stop off at towns along the way and go up to Mount Charlotte in Kalgoorlie where the reservoir is, and at sunset look out over that beautiful city of Kalgoorlie and look at the water and just, you know, take on board the fact that you've got this amazing man-made engineering feat that allows the city to survive.
Right. Well, it's history, isn't it? I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. Right before your very eyes. A bit of a chagrin of mine for a number of years when I first came to Perth, and the water shortage was always brought up. You know, we're going to have a water shortage in Perth. We as the place grows,
yep,
you know, there's not going to be enough water for everybody. And there was a suggestion that they should put a pipeline from up north.
That's right.
Down here to Perth.
Yeah, from the Ord.
Yeah. And everybody said, no, it'll cost too much money. Well, the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost. I mean, it would be outrageous to do it now, but I mean, it should have been done years ago.
And I always thought it would have been cheap because it would be coming from downhill.
Okay. On that subject, if you go to the Darling Ranges, take a look at the dams. You said that you've counted them personally. I know you've been there.
Yeah, there are nine dams within the Darling Ranges.
Right.
So, but we've also got Wellington Dam, which has, you know, over the last year or so become part of the Collie Mural Trail.
Okay.
So it's got the biggest mural in the world. So along the face of the Wellington Dam.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So a great reason, if you haven't seen the dams, and dams are a great draw card, particularly in the better months, the sunny months or sunny weeks as we're having at the moment.
Yes.
Go and have your picnic, go for a walk. Beautiful with the water in the dams, and particularly Wellington Dam as part of that mural trail. To get down there, it's going to take you an hour to an hour and a half. And
be a good time of the year to go look now, wouldn't it?
Absolutely beautiful time of the year. Bit of blue sky.
Yeah. And the weather's going to stay this way. I looked at the forecast a minute ago when it said just fine.
And pretty easy with the Darling Ranges to get up and find one of those dams that are up there.
Okay. All right. There's an idea for you. Whilst we're on the ground looking at dams and things, we should maybe get up in the air. How many lighthouses are there in Western Australia, Chris?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that question, Burjo. I think there are close to 30.
Ah.
Not all of them are accessible, but they're still active for navigational purposes. But there are a lot of lighthouses up and down the state that you can go up and give you that amazing vantage point. So two in particular, well, let's look at three. You got Wadjimup over at Rottnest, the Wadjimup Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up and look out. And then Cape Naturalist and Cape Lewin give you those beautiful views out over the ocean and out over the national parks as well, and give you a little bit of a history of what it was like growing up in the regions, you know, over about 100 years ago.
Right.
So these are man-made structures that also have pretty amazing sort of engineering history to them. And heritage as well. So a lot of them were built before we had a lot of communities in this state. So they were put there for the safety and the navigation of seafarers.
Sure.
So,
yep.
And they're still going to this day.
Do you need permission to go up in the lighthouse? You've got to make arrangements. You wouldn't just turn up, would you?
Most of them are run through heritage groups.
Right.
So as long as you have a look online and check out the opening hours, some of them are free. Some of them might charge a bit of money for a pass to go up them.
Yep.
A lot of them have also got other heritage buildings around them as well. So it's an opportunity not just to go up and have a view, but it's an opportunity to have a look at those buildings on the ground and see who sort of lived there over the years and the families that have taken up those duties.
Yeah.
Rottnest is an interesting one in itself. You know, that the families over the years that sort of manned those lighthouses, and you know, the kids that would have to go to school on the island and then also tend to the lighthouse if their parents were sick. They were sort of deputised as lighthouse keepers.
Yep.
And they'd keep the light shining.
I think it wouldn't be so bad to be on Rottnest looking after the lighthouse there, because there you can go somewhere else. But some of the lighthouses, I mean, they're just perched on a rock somewhere out in the middle of something. I mean, you're a bit restricted when it comes to getting off and doing other things. And the mail's delivered by boat and all that. So I've seen that movie. Yeah.
They're always lighthouses are good for horror movies.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they're also good for, you know, the age of social media and what's Insta worthy. There's a lot of good photos that you'll see of the North Mole and South Mole in Fremantle, the red and the green lighthouses that are out there.
Right.
Come sunset. It's a beautiful place to watch people fish, and as the sun goes down, take a few photos with those lighthouses.
Yep. We talked about man-made things. Western Australia's largest man-made lake.
Yeah.
I know you'll be a full bottle on this. I can just tell by the expression on your face now.
Well, it was interesting when you're talking about, you know, the idea of having a pipeline come down from the Kimberley.
Yeah.
And great time to be talking about the Kimberley because, as we speak, the Ord River Muster is on. And right where the Ord River Muster is, you've got Lake Argyle very close by. So the biggest man-made lake in WA, and I think the second biggest in Australia, can easily fit about 20 Sydney harbours in there.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you've got a fair indication of size with that one. And it's also, while we call it Lake Argyle, it's so big that it's actually classified as an inland sea.
Right,
it gives you an idea of the size of it.
How big it actually is.
Yeah. So for man-made structures, that's one to be proud of. And from a fauna point of view, you've got out of all the bird species in Australia, I think there's close to 700, there's over 230 bird species that you'll find at Lake Argyle. So one third of all the bird species we've got are sitting up there in that amazing body of water.
Is that right?
So you can do cruises and walks around it and all sorts of activities there and pretty amazing to have it sitting there at the top of the state.
Okay. So you can go on a cruise across the lake?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you might even see a freshwater crocodile.
Oh. Yes. Well, you wouldn't need to be in the boat then for that. Yes. You just mentioned birds there, which immediately thought of my wife because we're talking about Argyle and, of course, that... In her vocabulary, diamonds on the end of it.
Yeah.
Argyle diamonds.
Well, they're a pretty good man-made feature, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whilst on the subject of lakes, Lake Ballard. Now,
Lake
tell me
Ballard.
About this.
I love Lake Ballard. And there's a friend of 6PR's who quite often does presenting that you'd be familiar with, Christina Morrissey.
Yes.
She's a very good friend of mine and she called me one day. She was doing a travel...
Aussie crypto exchange SwiftX is giving footy fans a chance to win Game 3 State of Origin tickets, flights and accommodation. Simply trade $100 to enter. Visit SwiftX.com. SwiftX.com for details. Competition excludes residents of ACT, T's and C's apply.
Everything is on sale at Inspiring Vacations. We've taken 10% off site-wide. Absolutely every tour has been reduced, even our amazing red-hot deals. Book now and save thousands on best-selling guided tours across Japan, Sri Lanka, South America, Europe and so much more. See the world for less with Australia's leading tour operator. This sale is for a strictly limited time and places won't last. 10% off site-wide. Save now at inspiringvacations.com. T's and C's apply.
Story. And wanted some help with some words,
you
know, crafting some words because she was out at Lake Ballard. And the one thing I told her to make sure she mentioned, it was for postcards or one of the TV shows she was working on. And I said, make sure you mention the flies. The flies when you're out there are unbelievable. You know, when you're out in the heat, you know, you get that shimmer, that haze in the distance.
Yes.
It's a black shimmer and a black haze at Lake Ballard because there's so many flies out there. But it is one of the most spectacular parts of the earth I've ever been to. And from an art perspective, the artists that did the sculptures, and there are, I think, 50 or 51, Gormley is his name, and he based them on people that live in Menzies. There aren't much more than 50 people that live in the community of Menzies, and they're roughly based on what those people look like. And the statues are stretched out across this landscape. And Lake Ballard is one of the oldest bits of Earth. It's about 3.5 billion years old. So I'd love to know what you thought when you saw it when you were growing up.
Would you? You can go off people quick, Alec, can't you? I knew that was coming here. How many years did you reckon?
3.5 billion.
3.5 billion?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in your teens by that stage.
Yeah. I may look it, but I'm not quite that old.
So an amazing place to go to. So if you go to Kalgoorlie, it's just north of there. You get to Menzies and you turn left.
Right.
Drive down the road for a few minutes.
Yep.
And you'll hit Lake Ballard.
Right.
And that's where you can walk across the lake. And just swatting flies all the way, but in amongst the company of these beautiful statues.
What do you mean you can walk across the lake?
Well, it's a dry lake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a dried up old salt lake.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you walk.
See, this is a history lesson for me.
Yeah.
You know, this is a fancy. Okay. So
well,
you can
walk. I thought
walk
you would
across.
Have known about that since with the origins of it.
No. Yeah, well. Yeah. If you're going, take repellent with you. That's
that would be
the major thing with all those flies.
I'd even go the dorky hat.
Go the fly net.
I would be going the dorky hat, corks and net.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, let's go somewhere that's probably a little more refreshing.
All right.
Let's head down to Busselton. Okay. Now, I've been there, as I can say that I've been there. The Busselton Jetty.
Yeah.
How
long is it? It's nearly 2 kilometres.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit under, but it's a lot better to say 2 rather than 1.8 or 1.7. So, yeah, it's 2 kilometres long. So that's okay. Pretty good. And I think in Western Australia, I love jetties. And there's a lot of jetties. We could do a show just on jetties, I think. The ones on the river, the ones up and down the coast. Great for fishing off or jumping off. The life of a jetty is fantastic.
Right.
And when you look at what you can do at the Busselton Jetty, you can get a train, you can go underwater, you can just walk out on it. It's one of those great experiences that either when you're heading down south, you should take a stop and spend some time to go out on it, or on the trip back. Whatever you're doing, take your break in Busselton and get out on that jetty.
Okay.
And whether it's blue sky or grey, it's a wonderful experience.
Busselton, it is a great part of the world. There's no question about it. It's heritage listed, the jetty, of course.
It is heritage listed. And they've also got, with that underwater observatory, there's now some sculptures as well. So on a really fine day, if you're at the end, you can see some of them underwater.
Right.
But it's really designed for the scuba or even snorkeling. To be able to see those sculptures.
Yeah. So the jetty, it's either 1.7 or 1.8 kilometres long, but if you've got short little legs like Chris has, it's 2 kilometres. It's 2 kilometres. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it feels a lot longer.
Yeah. We'll be back talking to our expert travel writer, Chris Parry, very shortly. Saturday nights with Virgo, you're on Perth 6PR.
On Perth 6PR, this is Saturday Nights with Burjo.
Yes, and we're talking to Chris Parry. He's our travel expert. We're talking this week about attractions that are made in WA, man-made attractions. We've covered a few at the moment. And I'm going to sort of give your expertise a bit of a wrap over the knuckles here now. Are you ready?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. Periodic table in Joondalup.
Yep.
Come on. What's that?
All right. So I want everybody to think back to when they were at school in science and they had to learn the periodic table. So what the symbols for elements are. So what's lead, PB, iron, FE, gold, AU, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So a periodic table lists all of those. The biggest periodic table in the world is up at Joondalup at Edith Cowan University.
In
the world. It's at least 3 times bigger than the next biggest, which is in Spain. So it's on the side of the science building. It's about 30 metres long and about 20 metres high.
Wow.
And you can sit there and look up and remember all of your scientific explorations in the laboratory when you were at school and have all of those symbols hit you from a great height.
Yeah, well... I didn't do too well at science at school.
Have I just brought back some bad memories?
Only when I set fire to the classroom, I was doing a Bunsen burner.
The Bunsen burner. I was waiting for that. Yeah, I think that's the only 2 things I can remember from science. The Bunsen burner and a beaker.
Yeah,
you'd need beakers as well.
Consequently, I failed. The teacher was not impressed. But the periodic table
in
Joondalup.
Periodic table, just up at Joondalup.
Huge.
Yep.
Fantastic.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. Good thinking. Now, whilst we're into maths and things.
Yep.
Point zero. Now, I've heard about this.
That's an interesting one.
Do you know where it is?
I know where it is, and I know what it is. So... Point zero refers to the distance that you travel to any other sort of community, like a gazetted town or city within Western Australia.
Okay.
So when you see the signs when you're heading somewhere and it says Meekatharra, 464 kilometres, that sort of thing, there is a distance from the GPO, the General Post Office, out to that town that measures it, that tells you what the distance is. So Kalgoorlie might be 640 kilometres. Narrogin might be 196 kilometres. It's all measured from one tiny point in the middle of Perth. I will tell people that it's on St George's Terrace, fairly close, maybe on the other side of the road from the City of Perth building, and you'll find like a brass cross on the footpath, and that's where all of those measurements have come from. So there is this beautiful man-made plaque on the footpath. And from that point, you take the distance out to any community in Western Australia.
Now, I've never heard of that before in any capital city that I've lived in or worked in. that there is a point that all those measurements are taken from, point zero.
Yep.
And why did they choose that point?
Well, I would imagine that possibly that's where the GPO was at the founding of the settlement of the colony.
Yeah.
That might explain it.
Okay.
Maybe that's where the first postman stood to collect his mail. I'm not sure.
They might answer the question I was going to ask. Well, whereabouts in each of these individual towns is their point as well that they've measured, but probably the post office.
Yep. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep. Very important thing. And or could have been road board offices as well. In some of those smaller communities, if you think of Cuballing and Highbury, things like that, they had road board buildings, which eventually became our local councils. Those road board buildings were some of the first buildings, and they would be the where the post was collected and distributed as well.
Okay.
Point zero.
Fascinating stuff. Point zero. And so go check that out, see if Chris is right, and let me know if he's not. Jen in Bassendean is joining us. Hey, Jen, good evening.
Oh, good evening to you too. Now, great show. I've just driven home from work, so I was listening on the way, and I thought you might get sidetracked and do the Derby jetty out. Actually, with the big tide.
That is a magnificent jetty.
But that's not why I'm calling.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's he missed out on, Jen? Tell us.
Burjo. They have an annual swim in Lake Argyle.
Oh.
I'm heading up there in a few weeks. And you can swim with the old freshies up there.
Swim with the crocodiles. Is that what you're suggesting I should do?
The fresh one, the freshies.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Lake Argyle.
What, don't they bite us at me or what?
No.
They're
all pets.
They're pets, yeah, right.
I think there's 20,000 of them or something up there.
Oh, okay. Well, true. So when are you going, Jen?
Oh, in a few weeks. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so you should be.
Being up that farm, flying a broom, then driving all the way across Darwin and then back again.
Yeah, okay. That's a good trip, Chris.
Jen, I'm interested to hear in your experiences of the Derby Jetty. You obviously know that it does have that big tide go through there. Did you live up there at the time, and did you fish off the jetty at all, or what was your reason for being on that wonderful jetty?
No, I'll be heading up there because I'm just obsessed with just studying everything at the moment. And there's actually a young girl that's got a Facebook that she fishes under the jetty, which I wouldn't recommend that, actually. But
what do you mean, those friendly crocs?
No, they're the salty.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, thanks for calling. I really do appreciate it. Well done.
All right. Have a good night.
And I'll check when you come back. Give me a call. I want to make sure that you got back safely, Jen. After swimming with the saltwater crocs.
I will do.
Okay. Well, there you go. So from crocodiles to cows. I got to bring this up. Kawarumup.
Yeah.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Kawarumup.
Kawarumup.
So this is a great example of why we build things. So just like that giant tractor that has been put up at Carnamar, 300 kilometres sort of northeast of Perth.
Yep.
So that gives you a reason to go to Carnamar and go, let's go and have a look at the giant tractor. Just like Kawarumup, they've been wondering for years, how can we get people to stop in our town? We've got beautiful cafes, great little shops, but everyone's just heading to Margaret River and heading to Cape Naturalist and yelling up and everything else.
Right.
So they've turned the town. They've acknowledged the cow in Kawarumup. They've built 42 life-size cows and put them throughout the town that you can wander and have pictures taken with them.
Right.
And they hold the Guinness Book of Records for having the most people dressed in cow costumes for one day of the year. But it's a great reason to stop and buy a coffee and walk amongst these beautiful bits of public art, these beautiful cows that are throughout the town, and a great reason just to stop and see something that's been created by the town.
Yeah. They did that in New York. You know, they've got a huge bull or something in the thing. You can rub its nose and stuff and have a photo taken with it. But they've done it, taken to the next level. How many cows?
42.
42 cows.
42 cows.
Wow.
Yep. There you go.
Is there still room to drive through the joint? Or
absolutely. Don't let the cows go on the road.
Oh.
You'll just find them outside shops and
okay. And
in some parks.
Are they life-size?
They are life-size.
Goodness me.
Yeah, they are big, well life-size done. Cows.
Yeah.
Let's square them up for you.
Absolutely. Good spot. Okay. Gee whiz, look at that. It's been so exciting. We've run right out of time. I'm sorry.
Out of time. That's okay.
Is that okay?
That's okay. There's always next time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to that. Thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you.
It's been rewarding today. I've learned a lot this evening here from you on this program. Chris Parry, he's our travel writer extraordinaire, joining Burjo Saturday night on Perth 6PR. Why would you be anywhere else?
Everything is on sale at Inspiring Vacations. We've taken 10% off tours site-wide, even our amazing red-hot deals. This sale is for a strictly limited time and places won't last. 10% off site-wide. Save now at inspiringvacations.com. T's and C's apply.
Protection for your home and extra cash for the groceries. Buy a home and contents policy with Australian Seniors before July 13 and you'll go in the draw to win 10 grand cash to cover groceries for a year. Search Seniors Home and Contents Insurance and get a quote today. Competition, T's and C's and product exclusions apply. See PDS and TMD on website. Issued by Hollard Insurance Company. Permit ACT TP25/00734 SAT25/541.
Hey tradies, where do you go for the biggest range of steel supplies in WA? It's got to be Medalia Steel. With branches across the state, Medalia Steel has you covered with rheobar, roofing supplies, structural steel, pipe, flat bars, angle and more. Plus, if you need it cut to size and delivered to site, no worries. See your local Medalia Steel team today. Find your nearest Medalia Steel centre at medaliasteel.com.